Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Underserved, the podcast for the rest of the tech industry. Today, I am joined by a very special guest, my wife, Trisha.
Hello.
Trish, thank you for making the big trek up and joining me today. I wanted to talk to you a bit about social media, more specifically about the kids. We are the first generation to be raising kids with social media, and there's really not a good handbook or set of rules for what should you allow. Like, I know we have discussed internally, how old should the kids be before they can have a given social media account, be it Instagram or Snapchat? We know that there's risks to having any of those, and we want to try and protect them and keep them from being exposed to potential bad guy strangers or even other kids just not being nice. What have you seen as some of the benefits or challenges with the kids having social media?
I actually don't think there's as many benefits as there are challenges. I believe that the generation that's growing up with social media at a young age is losing its ability to communicate with people in person. I notice when the children are given time on their social media, I think that they lose the ability to express themselves and that human connection with people. I think they don't develop the skills required for them to function in the world without click for yes, click for no, someone didn't open me. And I think those are false senses of security. And I think if we base our self-confidence and our human interaction on whether someone opened me or didn't open me in enough time, then I believe that when it comes to actually having a conversation, and I've witnessed this with our children, knowing the social cues of when someone's speaking to you, when someone genuinely cares for you. So they're missing those foundational steps for communication.
I'd say I definitely noticed the same thing. And I know we've had a kind of informal campaign at home to have the kids limit their screen time and social media interaction. And we try to encourage them to be present, be here now, you know, interact with friends live when at all possible. And you mentioned being left on open. So for those who are not Snapchat savvy, in Snapchat, you can send these messages to other people, usually with a picture and a quick caption. The other person then can see that messages have arrived, but then they have to actually press on the message in order to open it and view it. After they've viewed it for a certain amount of time, that message disappears. So if you have received a message and you watch it, but then you don't reply immediately, that's being left on open. You open their message, but you didn't reply immediately. And that, it just seems so strange to me. Like, can't you just reply whenever you want, like email?
Watching this, you know, when we first had children and growing up, we didn't actually know whether someone sends you something. And if it doesn't go unopened, that person in 5 seconds, they don't like you or they don't care for you. And we didn't know what kind of
Repercussions
this would have had with our daughter's confidence, with our daughter's ability to manage interpersonal relationships, but also knowing that this is acceptable to their culture. There is a boundary or a balance in which you need to find where the kids are participating in their culture, but I feel the need to also have the ability to shut it down. Andrew and I have 3 girls. And so I'm not sure if it's the same for boys, but for girls, that need for an emotional acceptance, that need for just self-being, I definitely see a correlation between their Snapchats and their well-being. And I feel as if it's a disservice to them
to spend so much time on there and put so much stock in what
in people, a picture.
Yeah, what people think of them online.
Now, I came from a generation that didn't do pictures. So, you know, we snapped a family picture and that was it. And if you got a good one, that was great. But they snap pictures all day long. I think in 20 years, we'll see what the outcome of this particular fad or culture, because they're more internet savvy than all of us.
And more image conscious because they're always snapping those pictures and deciding which one to share. And is this one on brand? Okay, I'll put it on my Instagram. Is this just for fun? I'll put it on my Visco. Like, we never grew up with that. Like you said, there was a family picture once a year and maybe a yearbook photo. And now it's like they're sharing 20 a day.
As a parent, my concern for our children is, are we bringing up well-rounded children and happy children? And, you know, for the most part, we are. I think, you know, where we're not from that generation, we need to learn acceptance and boundaries, because that's the other part to this. They don't seem to understand the boundaries of social media.
Well, I think the safest course of action would be, okay, no social media, no texting, no phone, no nothing. You know, you interact with real people all the time and you don't need that. And I've seen some people try to do that, but we've noticed, you know, when our oldest daughter was maybe 11, you know, she's like, hey, everyone is on Instagram and they all DM each other and I'm kind of left out. So you have that tightrope that you were talking about before. I want them to be able to participate and be included, but I don't want them spending all their time in here or wrapping up their self-worth in, you know, how do I feel based on how people are treating me on here? You know, we saw an incident where some girls went on a field trip and then they were mean to another kid that wasn't on the field trip. And you definitely saw this kind of gang cyberbullying sort of mentality just peak within a couple hours and kind of ostracizing another kid. And you watch that happen and you're like, gosh, I don't even want them to touch this stuff.
No, because honestly, that particular child in that particular event, it stays with them for a long time because they're still developing who they are as children. Because their brains are not even mature enough till they're 25. They don't have the ability to filter right, wrong, but that's their first interaction with people. And yes, when we were kids and we went to school, there were bullies. And I carry all my books because I didn't want to go to the locker, you know, because they would follow me. So this has always been there. It's just, I think they have more of an immediacy of being able to access the children and their parents not knowing.
Your kid can stay in their room and still get bullied.
Yep.
You know, someone can reach you from anywhere if you're bothering to be on your device. So you talked a bit before about limiting device time. We found an app called Our Pact, OurPact. It's about $7 a month. It's available for iOS, Android. And it basically gives us the ability to limit screen time, limit which apps are allowed when, make a bedtime window when no usage of the phone is allowed, to give an allowance per day if we want. Like, you know, okay, you can use 2 hours or 3 hours. You manage your time, and when it's up, it's up. What have you thought of Our Pact and, you know, using it with the kids?
I love Our Pact because prior to Our Pact, one of the disciplines we have in our house is if someone's being disciplined, we take the phone because that's a luxury type of situation. And it would become a race to see who could get the phone first. With Our Pact, I just go to my phone, I click a button, and the social media apps disappear. I particularly like this because it gives them the balance of being able to use social media, but also having boundaries of when it's gone. Mm-hmm. My children hate Our Pact. They hate the fact that anytime I go to a party or I'm in the doctor's office that I show them how to lock everyone's phone. They feel as if I am unfairly using my power of Our Pact against them. I think in this day and age, having limits on when they can use it and when they can't use it is important. I've noticed when we shut the Our Pact off, we actually communicate with them. Behaviors are better. They're forced to communicate, to entertain. And I think in a society of instant gratification, I think that is more important to show that you earn it, that there's an accountability. I think more so than not, with this particular generation, there aren't a lot of accountability measures. I can tell you with my oldest daughter that when we shut it off, we actually have the greatest conversations with her. She's a great, articulate little girl that when she's stuck on the phone, it takes away from her ability to communicate with us.
One other thing that we kind of tripped over, we didn't really think about doing, but then saw some benefits from is, you have iOS, but you have your own Apple ID and account. I have an Apple ID, but I don't use iOS for my primary phone. I have an Android. So I used that Apple ID when I set up all the children's devices, and I set them all up under the same Apple ID. One of the unforeseen side effects is that all text messages go to all three and to my iPad. So you end up seeing everyone's messages all the time, and maybe a friend sends in something inappropriate, like it kind of comes to the forefront. And now there's some products that are trying to automate this process, one of which I read about was called Bark, like the noise a dog makes. And it will look inside their social media for keywords, patterns, like, hey, you look very mature for 14. I'm 23. Are your parents home? That sort of activity, and then flag people. It seems like a good idea. It seems a little Big Brother-ish, but you know, the argument is that, oh, we've helped prevent school shootings with this, and we've helped prevent self-harm with this. What are your thoughts on something like that?
I'm all for it. I think teenagers are still teenagers. Preteens are still preteens. They're still trying to figure out who they are as people. And yeah, sometimes you'll catch an inappropriate word. But I'm also an advocate of watching, you know, every now and then you check everything, make sure everything's copacetic with the social media and your kids. I think that when we check out and just hope everything's okay, we stop being able to not just control, they have to make their own decisions, but helping their decisions. Because sometimes, you know, yeah, there's an inappropriate text, you need to deal with it. They need to deal with it. So I really don't have an issue with that.
Yeah, I don't think there's really a reasonable expectation of privacy for a kid. Like, your parents got the device, they're paying for it. You know, you want to trust them to do stuff, but it is kind of a trust but verify situation. Like, if you can know something bad's going on, you kind of want to know as a parent.
Well, it's better to know than pretend like it's not happening. And so we're fortunate that there's been very few incidents of this, but the ones that we have caught from other people, I've been glad that they had the shared iOS, because I was able to stop and address the situation at hand.
Yeah, I think the kids don't know sometimes, or maybe don't want to raise their hand for guidance in a given situation. If you know about it, you can say, hey, you know, this came through. Here's how you deal with it. Don't forward it. We've always told the kids, sometimes they actually remember this rule, that before you put anything online or before you forward anything that someone gave you, meme, whatever, you should picture that message, image, whatever, on a billboard next to a busy highway like Route 95 with your face and your name next to it, kind of attributing that to you. That would you want your face and name on a billboard with this message? The answer is no. You should definitely not be forwarding it or posting it. That being said, we've even seen adults that fail to use this rule when they're posting. So,
no, it goes back to that, you know, what do you see on social media? I mean, everyone doesn't have the same type of filters that you wish would be employed in social media. But at some point, as human beings, we need to be able to develop the differentiator between what's right and what's wrong and what's appropriate. Because as a society, we still have to be held by those parameters.
Yeah, we want to teach the kids to be able to make the decisions for themselves, know when to apply that filter on themselves, or recognize a conversation that they don't want to be anywhere near and deal with it accordingly. But yeah, it's tough to maybe let them fail at it a few times in order to get the message. You want to fix it, but you don't want to be that helicopter parent. You want them to be able to make the decisions for themselves. It's a hard...
Again, it's that accountability factor. You have to make them accountable for their good, bad, or indifferent reactions. You have to make them accountable for it.
Absolutely. Well, Tricia, thank you very much for taking the trip up. We're going to talk to Caroline and see what she thinks about RPACT next.
I think we'll have two totally different points of view.
I agree. Thank you very much. Underserved is fortunate to be sponsored by Syrinx, the developer-founded, developer-run software consulting company. Syrinx provides bolt-on software development capacity to accelerate your software projects. Syrinx works with your team and your methodology, on-site or off-site, to deliver on time and on budget. They work in any technology stack: React, Angular, Java, .NET, Python, front-end, back-end, NoSQL, MySQL, any SQL you can come up with, they have experts. You need architects, developers, QA folks, project managers, analysts, data scientists, Syrinx can help everywhere in the software development lifecycle, anywhere in the United States. Syrinx also does complete outsourced software project development if you need a turnkey end-to-end solution, or if you just need an individual resource to fill a development gap. With 100% of their resources onshore and a 20-year track record of success, you can trust Syrinx to get it right the first time. You can reach them today at Syrinx.com or 888-579-7469. That is 888-5-Syrinx. Expand your software development bandwidth at Syrinx.com. Here with me today in the studio on location in Martha's Vineyard, we have Caroline, a prototypical and wonderful teenage girl. Say hello, Caroline.
Hi.
So I wanted to talk to Caroline today about social media, because although I'm sure I started using it before her, I am sure that Caroline's vast hours of experience with social media now far eclipse mine. So when did you first start using like social media?
I think I first started using social media in fifth grade, I want to say, because I think you let me get Instagram in fifth grade.
So in Instagram, the thing I noticed that was odd about it is that you can't have any links to things and you can't post something that doesn't have a picture. It's got to be a picture. It's going to have a caption. And the only place you can have a link is in your profile.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that limiting? What did you think when you first started using the platform?
Personally, with the things I post on my personal account, I don't need links. So it doesn't really matter. And I don't use Instagram to like talk to people or just send like messages or post messages like you do on Facebook. I use it strictly to post pictures, so I haven't found that to be like an issue.
Now, when you first used the platform, did you use the DMs on there, right?
Yeah, like I use DMs, but it's not really a mode of communication. It's more to just like send memes.
Oh, so you would post a meme and then send a message, or you would send the meme as the payload inside the message?
You send the meme like inside the message in the direct message.
Now, you had some interesting things that you told me about which platform you had, which image and so forth. So tell me a bit about why you consider Instagram to be like part of your brand and like what you would put on there and what you wouldn't.
Yeah. So Instagram is definitely more of a public platform. I guess I'll just compare it to Snapchat. I have a lot more followers on Instagram and it's a lot broader spectrum of people than my friends on Snapchat is. Like my friends on Snapchat, I have a good amount, but I only talk to my close friends. Whereas on Instagram, it's like you're posting pictures for that broad spectrum of people to see. And say like I have a picture of myself that I think is really funny looking, I might send it to my closest friends on Snapchat, but I don't want that broad spectrum of people on Instagram to see it.
Can you describe to the listeners what a Finsta is?
So a Finsta is kind of the same concept of just Snapchatting your close friends. It's an Instagram account that just your close friends follow you typically. You post things that you don't want the broad spectrum of people that follow your main Instagram account to see.
So that can certainly lead to trouble, though. We've heard a few stories here and there about people posting like rants and so forth on Finstas, and then other people getting upset. And it seems like kind of like the quote unquote anonymous profile that someone might use to just throw whatever out there, but it ends up being quasi public if you got a bunch of friends following it.
Yeah. Also, this is kind of similar to like a Finsta. There's private stories on Snapchat. So you have your normal story where like everyone you're friends with on Snapchat can see, or you can make it public and everyone in the world can see. My normal story is just like my friends can see it. So that's like a pretty large group of people, probably like 400-ish people. And then my private story.
400 friends?
Yeah, on Snapchat. But that's like small compared to my Instagram. On my private story, it's like 30 people. So it's pretty much just the close friends that I Snapchat every day.
Now, on Snapchat, technically someone could screenshot it or hold one phone on top of another and mm-hmm. take a picture of it.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of that being a problem with kids?
Yes, it can be. Like you put something on wherever you put it, or you sent something to someone and that person wasn't expecting that. or then they'll either like screenshot it, or people have found ways around Snapchat notifying you when screenshots. So there's this thing called the airplane mode screenshot hack, where you put your phone on airplane mode and like do a bunch of things and you can screenshot it without them getting the notification. So technically you really don't know if someone screenshotted something or not.
Oh. So what is the house rule that you're told because of this?
If you don't want the picture with your face next to it on a billboard, then you shouldn't be posting it anywhere.
And that gets mostly adhered to, but
for the most part, yeah.
It's tough to be 100% compliant.
Yeah.
Now, every parent's fear with something like Snapchat, and when they think of teens using it, is like kids sending each other naked pictures or crime pictures or whatever. Mm-hmm. In real life, how common would you say that actually is?
It's like a once in a while type of thing. Like, I've never had any crime pictures, but, you know, sometimes you'll add someone's friend on Snapchat, like they're a friend of a friend, and it's just... think it's necessary to send you
inappropriate pictures.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
But it's not that common.
Now, as far as your use of social media across all platforms, how much would you say you use it in a day or in a week?
Before I deleted TikTok, which is another social media app.
What? Stop and explain that one if you could.
So TikTok is this app where you basically record like music type videos of yourself. They can be like 15 or like 60 seconds long. And you record like a video of yourself to a certain sound. Either you can make the sound or you use like a pre-recorded sound. And there's different like challenges and like dances that go along with certain sounds. Personally, making the TikToks and learning the dances was a lot of effort. So I did it fairly often, but like not super often. But scrolling through other people's TikToks was so entertaining. I could spend 3 hours on that app and I just wouldn't even know. So before I deleted TikTok, I spent like 5 hours a day on social media. It was not good.
Jeez.
It was bad. It was horrendous. But since deleting TikTok, I spend around 2 hours on social media a day combined.
Okay. And so TikTok used to be called Musical.ly, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't there some controversy about young kids on there or some sort of inappropriate content or something?
Yeah, I heard about that, but I don't know too much about it. I just know when I was in middle school, it was really popular. Everyone had Musical.ly, and then everyone had ultimately decided it was stupid and it like was childish and like no one should have Musical.ly, and like people made fun of people that took Musical.ly seriously. And then they rebranded it as TikTok. And I don't know, most of my friends have the same story that I do. I downloaded it as a joke to make fun of people, but I found myself on the app way too much and I was like addicted to it. So long story short, I don't know if it's the inappropriate content as much as it's literally addictive.
I think I saw that at your school, there was kind of a school-wide thing to try and be more present and less on social media. Can you tell us about that?
There was this initiative started by our head of school called Be Here Now. And basically, they didn't use punishment. They didn't use anything like that. They just encouraged people to be on their phones less and talk to your friends. And for the most part, I did not find myself on my phone that much at all at school.
Would you say that you socialize more in person than online, or depends on time of year?
It definitely depends on the time of year, because during the school year, all of my friends spent the whole day with me, so I was socializing in person with them all day. But now, since most of them have gone home and they don't live as close, I do find myself talking to them online more.
So what would you say you like? Like, what is one of your favorite parts of social media besides wasting time on TikTok?
I don't enjoy wasting time on TikTok. It's bad. But the most enjoyable thing is probably staying in touch with my friends. Because if I was just cut off as soon as they went home, I wouldn't like it at all.
And what do you not like about it?
I don't like how easy it is to become obsessed with your image on social media. And I also don't like how people get judged based off of like followers and likes and comments and stuff like that.
So we were talking about on-brand versus off-brand. Can you explain why you would post something to, well, first of all, what is VSCO? And why would you post more there versus like an Instagram?
Okay, so other girls have a different purpose for VSCO than I do. But my VSCO is basically just pictures that say I took it and I like it, but I don't necessarily want to post it on my Instagram. I'll just put on my VSCO. So essentially, it's just my Instagram rejects, but the link to it is in my Instagram bio. So like, if you click on it, you can see all my Instagram rejects.
Now, I think you said you had some other unwritten rules for Instagram, like it's a picture of you, not normally with another person, very much posed, whereas Visco might be like, oh, here's my dog.
Yeah. Instagram is either pictures of me, just me, or pictures of me and my friends. It's not usually things like acai bowls and my dogs and like mirror selfies. Like,
or my parents.
Yeah. So some people would like maybe post that on Instagram, but personally, I just use Visco for different types of pictures, I guess.
Now, you said that some people use it for other things. Are you saying that they would use it to share off-color type stuff?
Some girls use their Visco to post pictures that either their family that follows them or like their little sisters that follow them or whoever they don't want it to see. They use their Visco to post the pictures they wouldn't want their family or whatever group of people they wouldn't want them to see. So like
more risque content?
Yeah, basically.
In your opinion, do you think there's anything dangerous about social media or bad people using social media in the wrong way?
Yes. You definitely have to be careful with like who you let follow you. And if you don't know them personally and you make friends with them online, I don't have much experience with this, but like you need to either, it's probably better to always keep that relationship online because you genuinely do not know who they are.
Yeah, it could be a catfish situation or much worse.
Yeah.
I know I used to joke with you, you liked that guy Khalid and he had that song, Send Me Your Location. And I would joke that you should never send your location to an adult male.
it's just like a catchy song. And he was probably just talking about his girlfriend. I don't know. That's what I like to think.
Time spent online is definitely something parents are concerned about. And occasionally, if there's bad behavior, parents want the ability to restrict online time. So much to the chagrin of my kids, we implemented a program called Our Pact. It's a program that gets installed on the kids' devices. Then there's a parental control app. And at its core, you can basically turn on or turn off access to all their apps, certain apps. You can time limit them. You can give them an allowance of time per day. Like, all right, you have 3 hours to use as you want. And then they have a little metering app that they can use to turn on or turn off their app access. Or if there was bad behavior and they're not home or wherever, you can just say, turn it off until I say so. And you can basically cut it down to just like a phone and message app so that they could just use it for emergencies. So Caroline, your reaction to Our Pact?
Here's the thing. I think it's great for kids who just get their phone and feel like they have all this freedom to do whatever they want with their phone. And I think it's great for them to learn to set boundaries at that point. However, once you've had your phone for a while, you're 15 years old, you're in high school, you have a certain program on your phone already that limits your time on social media. I don't think I need it because I can understand it if I occasionally get R-packed because like I did something bad. But A, the time allowance is so inconvenient. You press the little play button and it's really a gamble on whether R-pack feels like working with you that day or not. Because sometimes you just can't press the little pause button. Like it just genuinely does not want to work for you. And that is really unreliable, which is unfortunate.
Well, then as a parent, I start getting, oh, I tried to pause my RPAC, but couldn't. Could you give me 2 more hours?
I could see how that sounds sketchy, but it genuinely does not work. It is a 50-50 chance on whether it's going to work or not that day.
I actually ran into it myself because your browser is limited when RPAC isn't playing. And when I went to install RPACT, in order to install RPACT Junior, the metering app that you use, you need access to the browser. So I couldn't then on your phone install RPACT Junior and I had to like start all over. So the way this thing works under the covers, for those who want technical details, at least on iOS, it installs a remote management profile onto each of the kids' phones. And then that's how RPACT kind of sends the instructions to shut down or enable or whatever. On iOS, the remote management profile, if you're a crafty Googling teenager, you can figure out how to remove it. But doing so immediately emails your
parents. It notifies your parents.
Immediately notifies your parents. Then the child has basically broken our pact. And then
you have to start the download process all over again, which takes like 30 minutes.
Yeah, and there's usually some physical device confiscation.
Yes.
as part of this interaction. But I guess on Android, you really can lock it down and it can't be removed. But I don't have any children with an Android device. Now, I do
Is this why you trash Apple all the time? Because you want us to have Android phones so our pact works constantly all of the time and I can't delete it?
No, I trash Apple because of their digital rights management stuff mostly. Like, all right, I paid for a movie and I want to watch it on the plane. But, oh, I didn't start pressing play while I was still within network bounds. So the bits that I have on my phone won't play. It's like, come on, I paid for this stuff. Let me just use it.
Yeah.
Like, I understand they're trying to make sure they get paid every darn time. And, you know, God bless them, they're a trillion-dollar company. But from a user perspective, that's annoying. And also obsolescence. So we got a Mac Mini at the office. Mm-hmm. It's a little Mac that's like it's a little tiny rectangle and you hook it up to a keyboard, mouse, and monitor. And we used to use it for doing builds because, oh, here's another thing. If you want to build iOS apps, you have to do it on a Mac.
Really?
You cannot do it on a PC. When you go to compile down, like if you want to do Xcode or Swift or whatever, like you have to have a Mac for all that. So for this project we were doing, we had to compile both Android and iOS apps. So we had this little build box that was a Mac Mini. So when I got into podcasting, I wanted to repurpose it, use it for like a Skype box or whatever. It refuses to upgrade to new operating systems, refuses to allow you to install stuff. I had this happen on iOS too. We got a couple of those iPad minis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does happen on older models of iPads and iPhones and whatnot.
It's actually worse on the iPad.
Really?
Because the iPad mini is pretty darn close to like the next generation one and they just cut it off. They're like, nope, maximum iOS version is X and everyone's now developing for the latest iOS and, you know, very few people are trying to backport it and make sure it still works with these old devices or dumb it down. So, yeah, we've turned two of our old iPad minis into picture frames because they can't do a whole lot else.
All right.
So anyways, that's my Apple rant. But yeah, while that would be convenient, no, that's not why I drop on them. The RPAC thing, yeah, it's definitely something that I just like to see the time limited because when I see you guys walking around like staring at your phones instead of some place that we are like on vacation or something like that. Or as you know, like if you have a friend or relative over and I'm like, hey, there's people right in front of you to interact with, but you're still staring at your phone. And, oh, I just got to update this. It's like, come on, like look up. Life's right here above the top of the screen.
Yeah, I can definitely understand your perspective and like what it looks like. But I don't know. Sometimes I'll just be like in the middle of doing something. Like I'll remember I have to do it and it has to be done like right now. Like I need to text one of the captains for our team or I need to update my status on something or I'm in the middle of texting someone and I just need to finish the text and then I'm like off my phone. So I can understand it looks bad, but it's just like I need to finish up the task and I'm not usually on my phone when I'm around people. But mostly, I will give you credit. It's mostly because you make me aware of it and you're like, you need to get off your phone when you're around people. If you hadn't have started like enforcing that, I probably would be on my phone around people. So yeah, I guess I give you credit for that.
Well, I can't give you too hard a time. You're a very good kid. You're very well adjusted.
Thank you.
And especially when you put the screen down, you are wonderful to interact with.
Thank you.
Although it's kind of fun to interact with you online too. Send each other memes and that sort of stuff.
Yeah. You got 3 likes on your last comment on my Instagram post. I've never gotten that many likes on any comment ever. Let me know how you did that.
Oh, when I was saying that you're evening out your soccer tan?
Yeah, Megan thought it was so funny.
I don't know. Develop a dry sense of humor and apply.
Okay, try your best.
All right. Anything else that you would like to share with our listeners about social media or being a teenager growing up with it?
It's not all bad. I think putting limits on social media but not eliminating it entirely is important. At least try your best to understand it because some parents will just like not understand it and not try to. And like they just don't get it and they get mad at their kids for having it. But like at least try to understand it and why your kid has it.
And why they're sending so many snap dudes.
Yeah. Just try your best.
All right. Well, I will try my best. Thank you very much for joining me today, Caroline.
You're welcome.
We'll see you here in person and online.
All right.